We take you up to game day at 5:30. It's a drive, guys. Kyle Draper, though, you know, I'll go home, watch the game. Kyle Draper, that's when his work really begins. He'll be calling the game tonight, NBC Sports California. Kings taking on the Warriors. Kings fans just aching for a Kings victory over the Warriors. Going to be tough tonight, of course. Is there anything to be said for, hey, a moral victory? Hey, if they are competitive without De'Aaron Fox, moral victory tonight. Any?
No, not at all. No? We're way past that.
Yeah.
What is this, fifth grade basketball? There are no moral victories here.
I just asked the question.
Come on, Whitey. Is that what we're about now, moral victories?
Well, it's just going to be tough tonight. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I don't mean to jump on you, but you know what?
I agree with you.
You got – exactly, because it counts in the standings, right? And so there are no moral victories, and the Warriors will have them have beaten you 12 times, and they will have gone up 2-0 in the season series with you. And so I don't think there are any moral victories, when it comes to this team. Now, if Davion plays well, that's something you can latch on to and say, that's great. Let's, bottle that up and bring it back Saturday against Houston. But even without De'Aaron Fox, this Kings team should be able to hang with this Warriors team. Now, if they get the win, man, what could that do for you? You win here. You beat the Lakers the other night. Now you got two against Houston. You got Portland coming up. And so this could turn into a quick five-game win streak. And so that's why it's so important. And so I don't think Mike Brown's about moral victories.
No.
I'm not about moral victories either tonight.
You know, at some point, if you don't beat the Warriors, then that whole thing about, well, it's not a rivalry if you don't beat them, that does start to creep back into the conversation. Just being honest,
we're
not there yet. We're not there right now, but.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
You remember Pedro Martinez and when he was with the Red Sox and mm-hmm. when they used to battle the Yankees.
Yep.
And he was like, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Yes. And that's sort of how the Warriors, have been treating the Kings. It's like, you're a good story, feel good, woohoo, mm-hmm. third seed, but we still own you. And that's why, to your point, you got to make a statement. You got to make a stand one of these games against these guys.
Did you see opening night Denver fans chanting that to LeBron? Who's
yes.
your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Yes. And even though, I'm not a Denver fan, I love that kind of trash talk. And, like I said earlier, the best revenge if you're LeBron James or if you're the Sacramento Kings tonight is to win.
You're right.
If you don't like it, shut them up, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, Mike Malone said, I'm not worried about that. What, they're still talking about that? I don't care. And then he went out and beat him.
Right.
His team did. His team did. So, yeah.
Exactly. Let me let you in behind the curtain here for a minute here, Whitey. I'm here at Chase Center. Mike Dunleavy Jr. just walked in, the new president of basketball ops for the Golden State Warriors. And, everybody laughed at him. You go out there and get CP3. People are like, what is he doing? You pay Draymond all that money. But those moves seem to have worked out so far. And now I'm watching the Kings' young players on the court right now working out. Keon Ellis, our guy Kobe Jones, Jalen Slauson, and Jordan Ford now out there working. And this is some of the stuff, and you and I have talked about it, that you don't get to see at home, man. Mm-hmm. And every mm-hmm. time I'm in an arena, I feel privileged and honored, man. And I count my blessings, man, because I know what we do is something special.
Yeah. One time I was there early at a Warrior game, and a couple years ago, it was that terrible year they had 15-50.
Yeah.
And there's this guy shooting that I hadn't seen all year. It's like, who is that shooting? It's like, oh, it's Klay Thompson. And it was like one of his first time shooting. And I kid you not, I just took some video and we posted it on our website. And I got text from ESPN. Can we use your video? It blew up. So, yeah, you never know what you're going to see out there. But I'm with you. It's really a privilege to get to see those guys working out in that capacity.
It is, man. And it's I feel like it's the calm before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
You see the ushers. You see the people laying the towels on the seats. You see they're adjusting the cameras on the backboards right now and everything. And it's like, it goes from empty to quiet. And then in a few hours, you got 18, 19,000 screaming fans, man. And it's awesome to see it all come together before your eyes like this.
You mentioned him. So what do you think we can expect in terms of minutes, at least, for Kobe Jones?
That's a great question, because Mike Brown did say, he's going to be in the mix. This is a tough one. This is a tough place to make your, you know, not season debut, but extended minutes season debut. I'd say about 10 minutes tonight for Colby Jones. And, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, spot on or should he play more. I'm still trying to figure out. Now, does he become the backup point guard? Is Malik Monk your backup point guard with Davion starting? And so I think Mike Brown will put him in probably mid-second quarter, early into the first maybe, get his feet wet. But I'm looking forward to seeing him because, you know, obviously he was great in the preseason, but this is going to be a tough assignment for him.
Sure is.
Like, all right, Colby, here, come out and play. And oh, yeah, you got to guard Steph Curry, too.
Right. Desperate times call for desperate measures. You're shorthanded, I would think. You know, we've talked about how Colby Jones, everyone can see it. He's one of those guys that just doesn't seem bothered.
Yeah.
The moment isn't too big for him. As you say, it's a different situation tonight, but I think he'll get a chance. And if this moment isn't too big for him, maybe he knocks down some shots. Maybe hey, look at that.
Yeah.
He's further along than we thought. I think they'll give him a chance. And if he plays reasonably well, I think we might see even more of him than the 10 minutes. But I think, you know, Mike Brown realizes, like you say, it's tall order, so you just have to wait and see how he responds.
Yeah, think about it. If you're Colby Jones, you haven't really played much so far this season, some spot duty. But Mike Brown goes on record as saying, oh, yeah, Colby's going to be in the mix. You wake up in San Francisco and you got a big game tonight against the Warriors. How would you feel? You know, is it, do you get to the gym early? Wake up early, set the alarm at 5:30 except, you know, and like I said earlier, I was listening to a, you know, the podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, All the Smoke. And one of the things that Steven Jackson said is that, you know, when he was playing in, where was it? Was it Washington? Or I forget where he was playing. No, New Jersey, back when they were the Nets. He came in as a rookie. He said he knew he wasn't going to play. And so when he got to the arena, he didn't even go through warm-ups or no pregame routine or anything like that. Now, conversely, if you're Colby Jones, you know you're going to be called on tonight. Do you get up early? Are you wearing a special outfit to the arena? Are you breaking out some new sneakers? Like, this is a big day for this young man tonight.
Along those lines, a little different, but you reminded me of a story that the great Harold Presley told us one time. And Harold had been playing well, but Dick Motta became the coach. And for some reason, Dick Motta coached the Kings, who just was not going to play Harold. Harold was just not playing. He wanted to stay in shape. So he, before a game, you know, he'd run stairs. And they're playing, I guess it would have been Philly. Might have been Phoenix. But anyway, he's running the stairs, and it turns out somebody got sick or something. So Harold, you're playing, and you got to guard Charles Barkley. And Harold said he was exhausted. And he said at one point, Barkley runs by the Kings bench and says, y'all got to get somebody else in here because he's dying. So, yeah, you got to be ready for anything. So we'll see if Colby Jones is ready for the moment in the spotlight tonight. The 49ers don't have a game this week, but 49er fans still basking in the afterglow of the big trade with Chase Young coming over. We touched on this yesterday. I thought this was interesting. Kyle Shanahan said to the media after he looked at the game film, he said the 49ers against the Bengals looked slow and tired. That's what the coach said. Slow and tired. He said, when that does happen, I think it leads to bigger holes. I think it leads to more mistakes. I think it leads to missed tackles. I could see on tape a different type of energy that was disappointing. So is that alarming? And is that something you think that Chase Young maybe can address? Or is just the bye week going to take care of that? Why would a coach admit that?
Right. I do think it's alarming because you never hear a coach say that. I mean, they play one game a week. Is he working them too hard behind the scenes? Are they practicing too hard? What's the deal? You never hear an NFL coach say, our guys are tired and they look slow. I mean, shoot, you just finished up week 8. Like, you shouldn't be tired and slow right now. You still got more than half the season to go. And to me, it's kind of alarming. It's kind of concerning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping Chase Young, for the Niners' sake, is that sort of shot in that arm, the adrenaline. But let's not forget, they brought Randy Gregory in a few weeks ago as well. And so I just don't get how this team can be tired and winded and need a break. Like, I think it's shocking. Maybe it's excuse making on Kyle Shanahan's part. if they are tired and winded and everything like that, that's going to be concerning for me, because the way it's trending, they're not going to have a bye week. If they keep this up, they're not going to have a bye week. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to play 9 straight weeks to finish out the regular season. You're going to have to play wild card weekend, divisional weekend, NFC championship weekend, and Super Bowl. So, they need to hit the reset button, and hopefully this won't be an issue for them the second half of the season.
Maybe the coach is just trying to find a little bit of wiggle room to take his players, some of the heat off the players. And, you know, the Bengals were coming off a bye week, speaking of bye weeks, and the 49ers are coming off a short week. You don't normally hear a coach do that. Yeah. He's not a dummy. Maybe in some way he's trying, because everyone, the heat is so intense. And a lot, he's one of the ones putting the heat on his team and his players. So maybe that's part of it, just talking about trying to look for, hey, you know what? It's not as bad as it looks. They were tired. But it's interesting with Chase Young being acquired in trade. And you talked about this, Kyle. Tim Kawakami in The Athletic wrote a really interesting piece today where he said basically when the 49ers, that is Lynch and Shanahan, when they're not sure what to do, what do? They go and they try to upgrade the pass rush.
Yeah,
that's their go-to. And here they are trying to do that again because they believe everything with this team really starts there. Are they right? We'll find out.
We'll find. I mean, you can look at Hargrave. You could look at Gregory.
Yeah.
Now you could look at Chase Young. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a if I'm a fan of the Niners, that's all you can ask.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
As for it, though, right, is your ownership, your management, to put you in the best position to win. You know, I understand the whole, you know, Trey Lance situation didn't work out, but they're committed to going for it. Whatever the decision they make, they go big, right? It's like go big or go home. Like whether it's Chase Young or Randy Gregg, if they feel like they need something, they go out and get it. Now, will this help out the secondary? That's what I think they're hoping, right?
Mm-hmm.
The secondary's best friend is a great pass rush. You give the quarterback fewer time to throw the ball, you know, your secondary doesn't have to cover for as long. And so that's what they're hoping, because we talked about it before the trade deadline, Whitey. We thought not only defensive line, but secondary also is somewhere they have to address. They haven't necessarily done that, you know, when it comes to the trade deadline. And so I think they're hoping that the defensive line will be able to help that out.
Knowing that that's what the 49ers believe in, knowing that their philosophy is based on pass rush,
yes.
Just think if you're Nick Bosa and you're holding out, he had so much leverage. He knew they had to give him whatever he wanted, right? He knew it. He's so important to what they did. And he could afford to wait as long as he needed to. I think maybe that is hurting him now. Maybe that's one reason he's not playing as well, because he missed so much time. But he had them absolutely over a barrel, Kyle.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Not sign Bosa? You know, and that's the thing. In that position, it's not like running back. You know, running back, you know, you can pick up another young guy. There's always that, you know, it's sort of like a bus stop. You may miss the first one, but there are going to be another one coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Like a game-changing defensive end. And now they got two of, like, think about it. Chase Young and Bosa on opposite sides. I mean, this is going to be tremendous to watch. And if they gel and if they play well, you could argue this Niners defense has the best front four in football. I could have made that argument maybe even before the trade and before the season, but now let's see if they live up to it.
So where is this whole Steve Wilks thing headed for the Niners? A former Niner had some really interesting thoughts on that, and we'll share those with you when we come right back. It's the Drive Guys, Kyle Draper in San Francisco, Whitey here in our Sacramento studios, Sactown Sports. By the way, that whoop, 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 I heard that sound today. When I got out of my car, pull up, get home, and there was this today before the show, there was like 12 turkeys on my front lawn, and there was some of them were little ones, and that's the sound they were making. That's it.
Really?
Yeah. Have you had turkeys in your neighborhood at all?
Oh, yeah. Not as much now out here, but back in Massachusetts all the time. Is that the turkey sound right
That's
there?
That's what they were doing, the little one. Did you get any trick-or-treaters last night?
Yes. It was tons of them. Halloween's kind of an interesting thing in the Draper household. You know, obviously, my wife, she gets really into it.
Oh,
like, she dresses up with the kids and everything, and she takes them out. And, yesterday, and my son, who's 14, like, he dressed up as a high school basketball player.
Okay.
I'm like, bro. But like, I mean, that's your practice uniform you wear on Tuesdays and Thursdays. What is that? He's like, Dad, but, you know, my other friend's being a baseball player and I'm being a football, and my other friend's being a football player. So I'm like, all right, dude, all right, you know, and then they just go off. So it's not the same. I don't get to go out with them anymore. I'm the candy giver outer.
Yeah.
That's my role, but no, tons of them last night.
Well, I'm nothing against your son, but I mean, in a way, if that's your costume, you're implying that's not really what you are.
Ooh.
I mean, is that, am I right?
Right.
If you're
playing a role. That must not be who you are, right? You're not
and
a
I know
baller.
He's a player. I mean, you've told me he's a player. So, interesting choice right there.
Last season, the Sacramento Kings gave his
own. Hit him up with that. It'd be like, dude.
I'm not calling him out or anything. I'm not trying to cause problems. It just thought occurred to me. Question. By the way, Chad has been great today. Texan's been great. We appreciate it. Martin says, Whitey Drapes, thanks for all the content. Well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, you guys provide on the chat more content than we do.
Right?
We appreciate that. But somebody wants to know, hey, guys, who's going to be – it's Martin. Whitey Drapes, which Kings player going to be high scorer tonight?
I'm going to say, and maybe I think we're both in agreement here, Keegan Murray. Keegan's going to be that guy tonight. Give me Keegan in 28 tonight. How about, can I get that? Is that a good number? Is that you okay
That's
with that?
That's a nice number,
yeah.
Yeah,
Keegan in 28 tonight, I think. I need 15 shots at least from him. He got to let it fly.
Yeah.
He got to get it up tonight.
I'm going to go with Monk. I think that's a great call, Keegan. I want to pick somebody different. I want to see Malik just go off. The way he finished the game against the Lakers, it seemed like he was in total command, total control.
Yeah.
Whereas against the Warriors, it was like, that's not Malik. I mean, he's okay. So I want to see him with a little something for the Warriors tonight. I want to see Malik Monk be the primary king who shuts up Steph Curry and Draymond Green. That's what I'd like to see tonight.
And you know, the thing about Malik is he's had big games against these guys before. Let's not forget, he was arguably their best player outside of De'Aaron Fox in the playoffs last season. So you might be spot on with that tonight with Malik Monk.
Now, tall Chinese guy says, why are you taking shots at kids? I'm not taking shots at anybody.
Yeah, you are a little bit. Taking shots at my son, a little bit. That's all right. I
don't
see
even
how it
know
is.
Your son. It's the last thing I would
do. That makes it even worse. That's the thing. You don't even know my guy, you know? He might be so much a ball player that's all he owns, Whitey.
Fair enough.
Is basketball
Fair
gear
enough.
Like that.
All
so,
right.
Here you go.
Eric S. says Malik for 50. All Chinese guy says Murray for 34. What is, I don't know, do you know, not to put you on the spot, Keegan's career high? I don't know it. I've only
I feel like it's 32.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that.
All right.
But
it's around there, right?
Yeah. I can find that out pretty quickly. I believe it was 31 or 32, was it at Houston, I believe? I think he had a big game at Houston. Let me stand by, Whitey. I know you.
Compio says,
here.
My prediction earlier was 29 for Murray. And Compio says, Draper is starting to think like me. Is that true? You and Compio?
No, I don't think so. 30 points is Keegan Murray's career high, and it was at Houston back on February 6th earlier this calendar year.
Well played.
So 30 points his career high.
Murray.
Yeah, that's what we need. Can you imagine if he goes off? Because remember, in Game 6 down here, I heard some light the beam chants.
Yeah.
What if we get some Keegan Murray chants? That's when you know things are going terrible for these Warriors.
Yep. Love to hear it. Love to see it tonight. Back real quickly to the 49ers here.
Oh,
Steve Wilks. What's going on, Steve Wilks? Chase Young now. He's going to improve the pass rush, and everything's great, right? This is interesting from Richard Sherman, who, as you know, great defensive player, and he played for the 49ers for years. Here's what Richard Sherman says about this situation. He says, for you to sit there and run games and stunts and do all these other things instead of ears back and saying, go get the quarterback, like these guys have specialized in for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, it's weird, says Richard Sherman. It's weird, and I think Kyle Shanahan has had enough, end quote. That's Richard Sherman's take on the Shanahan-Steve Wilkes situation.
Is that what's happening? Is Richard Sherman correct? Like, Steve Wilkes is putting in stunts and audio instead of just saying, guys, go get them? I need to look at the tape and see, has that been the problem? You know, they're getting too fancy on the defensive line. And if that is the case, why is it taking 8 games
right.
to fix?
I'm with you. That would be such a simple fix.
Right, a simple fix. So there has to be more to the story than that. There can be a situation, Whitey, where everybody's to blame.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Wilkes not doing the best he could do. Bosa's not doing, everybody can share in the blame. It's not just, oh, Steve Wilkes, he's the problem, or we got to move him onto the field. That'll fix everything. Or you get Chase Young, all is great now. There's a little bit of everything, you know. You could throw it on the defensive line. You could throw it on Steve Wilkes. You could throw it on the secondary. Even how does that explain the missed tackles,
right.
Richard Sherman?
It
that
doesn't.
Would be my question to him. It doesn't, right?
I think this was to a degree inevitable. I mean, Robert Saleh was, beloved and did a great job to the point where he got a head coaching job. When DeMeco came in, I was thinking, people were so high on Saleh, even though a couple of years earlier they'd wanted to fire him. But it's a tough act to follow. But DeMeco Ryans did a great job. And if anything, he did in some respects a better job. So then he goes on. So that's two guys that did such a great job as your defensive coordinator.
Right.
They got head coaching jobs. That's a tough act to follow, as I say. Then you bring in a guy from outside the organization who, and Steve Wilkes has said, I have my style and it's a little different. So in some ways, the 49ers have asked for this. When the team is playing well, obviously no problem. But when the defense starts to struggle, then, it looks like, hey, he's the new guy. What's wrong there? So some of this the 49ers really brought on themselves.
I agree. And then you also look at, let's say, Steve Wilkes has his own style, the way he calls games and everything, his system, let's say.
Yeah.
Don't we think Kyle Shanahan knew that?
Yes, yes.
And then, so if Steve Wilkes is doing what he's always done, then how much blame should be placed in Kyle Shanahan for bringing in a guy
mm-hmm.
that is doing that? You know, Mike Brown told a story about when he took over and coached the Lakers. He had replaced Phil Jackson, and, Kobe had all this success with Phil Jackson. He had won 5 rings with Phil Jackson, but Mike Brown came in with his style, his way of doing things, and then he realized, why would Kobe would say, but I won 5 titles by doing it this way. And it's sort of what Steve Wilkes finds himself in now. If what Richard Sherman is saying is correct and it's a style thing, a system thing, Bosa and those guys are thinking, man, we had success mm-hmm. doing it this way for so long. Now Steve Wilkes might be asking us to do something different. And I place that blame on Kyle Shanahan for putting him in that situation.
Right. Yeah, me too. But this will, maybe you've seen this already, Kyle, but if you haven't, this will bring you great joy and comfort. Kyle Shanahan says that he and Steve Wilkes are going to talk about whether Steve Wilkes should be calling the game from on the field. He said, we haven't talked about it yet, but we're going to talk about that and see if that's better. So I know that you think that makes a huge difference, whether he's in the box. No, in all seriousness, I know we joked about that. Steve Wilkes has said, I like being up there. That's where I like. He says, I don't like the emotion of being on the sideline. I want to be away from that so that I can think. But, it's like, well, the last.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
These two guys are on the sideline, so maybe he should be on the sidelines. Again, they've kind of asked for some of these problems.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like all of a sudden Steve Wilkes woke up and said, from now on, I'm going to start coaching up in the box. You know,
yeah, right.
This is what he's been doing. And, you know, maybe I need to hear from somebody who's way more knowledgeable about football than me, a coach or something. Like, what's the difference? Like, tangibly, what can we say that, you know what, if Steve Wilks is on the field, this will be better because of X, Y, and Z? Is it because easier to communicate with the players? Like, I just don't get why it would make that big of a difference.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, we'll take one more peek at what's going on with the Raiders and where they go from here, and a lot more, of course, on the Kings and the Warriors with Kyle Draper getting ready for the call tonight at Chase Center in San Francisco. It's a Drive Guys on Sac. Now we got a headline for you. It's Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. The Kings made a trade today, and I know a lot of people on the chat are wondering, and the text line wondering, what exactly is going on. Kyle Draper, I didn't mean to put you on the spot earlier by asking you about this, but yes, the Kings have made a trade. They've picked up Filip Petrušev and cash from the Clippers. Interesting thing about a trade is typically you give something up, you get something back. We have no idea what if whatever the Kings are giving up. We don't know, and we barely know what it is they're getting back. Nothing against Filip Petrušev, but he's played, has he played one game in his NBA career, I think it is?
Yeah, one game and I think, what, 3 minutes or 11, something like that. It was for the Sixers a couple of nights ago, October 29th was his NBA debut. 6'11 big man out of Serbia, and so, you know, take a flyer on him, see what he can do.
Mm-hmm. So he's having a week because the Clippers just... They got him from Philly, and then I think he just arrived, and it's like, yeah, don't get comfortable because we're sending you to Sacramento. So as I said earlier, it sounds like maybe in some ways it resembles an old Billy Bean Moneyball move where this guy's available. He one time was considered a really top prospect, and so he's got size, obviously. Size, one thing you can't coach, and so the Kings bring him in and see if they've got a player. Potentially, you know, high reward, low risk move. So why not?
Yeah, why not? You know, and like you said, I don't know what they gave up. The fact that they also got cash back as well. Like, you know, you rarely hear that. Maybe you give up cash considerations to get a player or something like that. But no, it'll be interesting to see to hear what they give up. And, you know, maybe Mike Brown will address it in his pregame press conference tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not a huge move, but a little bit of a surprise. And maybe the Kings have now they'll have – how many centers will they have now with this move? Because they'll have four – will they have four centers?
Four legitimate centers? Yeah, four guys, 6'11 and above. Domas, JaVale, Alex Lynn, and Petrušev. Yeah, mm-hmm. Complete opposite of last year, right, when you only had two. Well, I guess you had Rashawn Holmes, but he was sort of undersized too, though, right?
Which brings us again to the Warriors, Kyle. They're undersized. How can we take advantage of that? How can we make them pay?
That's a great question, because when you look at Domantas Sabonis, he's done well this season, especially Friday against Looney. He more than held his own in that. Who's the weak link defensively on this Warriors team? I think, you know,
it's probably Steph.
But one thing the Kings don't do is hunt for the mismatch. You know, they're not a pick and roll kind of team or anything like that. They're instituting that a little more this season, but
they're hunting for the open shot more than they are the mismatch.
Right, exactly. It's not like LeBron, you know, we don't have that guy that's searching for that mismatch and trying to get Steph on LeBron or something like that. And so I think, you know, if I'm the Kings, I'm putting Steph in a lot of actions, right? I'm making him at least run around defensively, work defensively. And that's what they do naturally by their style of offense. But, you know, the old adage is you got to tire Steph down. And we talked a little bit about it earlier. Now with Chris Paul, he doesn't have as many responsibilities. And, you know, it's interesting because when I was watching Steph Curry play, they were hiding him defensively. I forgot who he was guarding. There was a stretch on Friday night. It wasn't De'Aaron Fox. It wasn't Malik Monk. He was guarding a guy that, you know, probably isn't necessarily as much of an offensive threat as some of those other guys. But I think you got to make Steph Curry pay on the defensive end.
Yeah, and as I've said a number of times, I know late in the game, the Kings made a little run here. They had some success with some traps. But that'll be probably tougher to do because Draymond will be playing for the Warriors tonight. And he's say what you will about Draymond Green. He's an excellent passer, so excellent ball mover.
Yeah, and you look at Draymond's numbers this season. I know he hasn't played a lot, you know, against the Pelicans, 6 points, six rebounds, and seven assists in 22 minutes. And so his impact, obviously, is passing on offense and communication and positioning on defense. And so, you know, one of the things, you know, when you talk about Draymond, his impact is greater than the numbers. And I wonder, do you think he's a Hall of Famer? He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer, isn't he? Just for four championship rings and being a big part of it, I think he is.
I think you could debate whether he should be. Maybe there's a debate there, but he's going to be. Right. I don't think there's any question. So, yeah. I mean, you could have a conversation. Iguodala's probably – we talked about that.
Yeah.
If Iguodala's in the conversation, Draymond's in.
Definitely, right? Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So, Kings with their hands full tonight. We'll get back to that in just a moment here with the Drive Guys. I wanted to just circle back to whatever it is that's going on with the Raiders. As I said earlier, for the first time in my life, I'm glad the Raiders left Oakland because it's just a disaster right now. Mark Davis doesn't appear to really know what he's doing. How do you give Josh McDaniels, first of all, how do you give him a six-year contract?
Right.
And then you fire him 2 years in.
Right, yeah. And it goes back to your point, Mark Davis, you know, doesn't know what he's doing.
I don't think he does. Yeah.
You know, even if you thought Josh McDaniels was your guy, a six-year deal?
Right.
What has he proven? What has he done to earn that?
Right. It's like, we had to give him a six-year deal to get him. Well, then you shouldn't have got him.
Right, exactly. Well, then, you know what? He's not worth that. It'd be different if you know, he had some success elsewhere or, you know, he didn't flame out the way he did in Denver. But based on his track record, there's no way you were supposed to give him a six-year deal. And then you fire him in his second year, and so now you got to pay out that contract. Now you got to bring in another coach, you know, Antonio Pierce will fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Now do you, you know, bring in another guy for another four-year deal or something like that? And so you're right. It's a mess right now. But I do think, Whitey, we could criticize the Raiders all we want right now, but I think we all agree Mark Davis made the correct move today, getting rid of Josh McDaniels. Like, I you know,
all
we
right.
can argue and say, oh, he shouldn't have brought him in, shouldn't have signed him to it. True. All that's true. But on this day, he made the right move.
Yes, he just corrected an error that he had made. But all right,
right.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Sure, I see that because it just and your fan base was very upset.
Right.
And
right.
Apparently, one of the issues between Mark Davis and Josh McDaniels was that you know Jimmy and you and I like Jimmy G, but that was Josh's guy, and he's just you know he's been terrible. I think somebody on the chat yesterday said you know Jimmy's playing like he's got a bad back. He's been battered. He's been bad, and they've just made a series of. McDaniels of the GM have made a series of bad decisions. I don't think the team was ever as good as they thought it was when they took over there. This team is probably, you know, 2 or 3 years past what should have been a rebuild. So maybe now somebody will have the wherewithal and the wisdom to say, you know, Reggie McKenzie did a great job when he first got there. He tore that thing down, and then he and Del Rio built it up. They did a pretty good job. I think it's time for another teardown.
But what does that include? Does that include a Josh Jacobs trade? Does that include a Davante Adams trade? Like, when you say you have pieces, don't you? You have pieces. You have Crosby on the defensive end. And so you have some pieces out there if you're the Raiders. And so I don't know if they're that far away from a full teardown. And also, when you look at it, when you look at the AFC, and I'm not saying this is their year and they can turn it around, but there's a lot of mediocre teams in the AFC right now. When I looked at the standings, I got, you know, why can't the Raiders turn it around under Aiden O'Connell, turn it around under Pierce? And I'm not saying they're going to go for it, Whitey. You know, I think they should. You know, I don't want to say tank, but you got to find out what you're going to get with O'Connell. Maybe draft a quarterback if he's not the guy. But when you look at the AFC, unequivocally, I can say the Dolphins, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Jaguars, and the Chiefs are unequivocally better rosters than the Raiders. Outside of that, I think it's a whole lot of...
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mush in the AFC.
Sure, but do you want to be the best of the mush teams or do you want to be a really good team? Right. I don't think that they've drafted well enough. Going back to when Gruden was there, and you can pick, you know, like Jacobs, that was a good pick. They've had a few good picks, but overall I don't think the roster is strong enough stem to stern. So then, you know, you go out and you augment that with some free agents. Well, I think Devontae Adams is a great example of how you bring him in to augment the roster. Well, there's nothing there for him to augment. It's not good enough. So I think because they haven't drafted well enough, that's why I think it's time for the teardown. Yeah, they got a few outstanding free agents, but not enough of them really to make a difference. And you're right. I mean, again, you can. Do you want to be year to year a team that maybe if things break right for us, we win 9 games? You know, and that's, again, if everything goes right for you.
Right.
So I think it's time for the teardown. But again, Mark Davis doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's delusional.
They, you know, what they say? What do they say about you know, the worst position to be in is a mediocre team,
right? Right.
You either want to be really good or really bad. You don't want to be in that middle, you know, perennially, like you said, a 9-win team, because that there's no hope then. You're going to be okay, but not great. No hope, no future. At least if you tear it down, get some high draft picks, there's some future, some hope for the future. They might be in a position, but they got talent. Like, who can they go out there and get? Who's a, you know, could they have made a Kirk Cousins kind of trade before he got hurt or something like that? Would Kirk Cousins have made this a better team? I think so.
I think they right now that what they need to do is make sure they get the right coaching in there for Aiden O'Connell so that they give him the best chance to be a good player. Either that or just forget it and hope you get Caleb Williams. That's the way I would go. I hope they figured out, because Raider fans deserve a lot better than what they're getting.
And one quick thing, one good thing, this is a deep quarterback draft, right? It's not just, you know, Caleb Williams and then nobody else. You should be able to get some talent, you know, top 10. I need to look at their draft situation, but maybe they bottom out and maybe they do have a top 10 pick this season. You get a Drake May out of, you know, Duke or somebody like that. And so I do think there is some quarterbacks to be had in this draft.
When we come back to the NBA, the Kings and the Warriors, and this, KD just hit 27,000 career points last night. So where does he belong on the all-time greats list? I've got a view on that I think may shock you. Next here to Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Kings and Warriors coming up, and of course you get to the game early, you're watching the warm-ups, and you got players shooting. You also have players stretching out near half court. I'm just wondering, Kyle Draper, what kind of stretching pregame do you do? You stretch your vocal cords here? You got the call tonight at NBC Sports California once again. What's Kyle Draper's pregame ritual? As far as you could share with us. Yeah, but Kyle Draper joining us here in just a moment. Maybe this is part of his ritual. He doesn't actually have his headphones on right now, so he can't actually hear me because he doesn't realize that we're back on the radio. But we'll get him back on just a second here. On the chat, some interesting points here on the Raiders. MTDG says, we're in the playoffs 2 years ago. Certainly true, but I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, MTDG, the Raiders actually were outscored that year. They had a negative point differential, which to me suggests that maybe they weren't as good as they thought they were. And so, again, they try to build off of that. with not a very clear view of how good their team was. There's Kyle Draper. He's back with
us.
Yeah,
my bad, my bad.
No problem.
We're telling Steph Curry stories over here with my guy Mike, the engineer, and we're talking about how Steph Curry's the bad boy now. You know,
yeah.
He's growing to become a hated guy now. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. And I agreed with Mike on that.
So we were wondering, Kyle. You know, you go to the game early, as I said, and you see players stretching and warming up. How's Kyle Draper stretch vocal cords? How do you get ready physically and mentally for a broadcast?
You know, this is a different kind of season, right, Whitey? Because I'm doing radio now, and so. Usually I don't talk to anybody for 3 or 4 hours before a game, really. You know, I'm by myself getting mentally ready. Now, you know, I'm talking a lot before the game. I always have a cup of tea, hot tea before the game, that kind of thing. I carry around my cough drops with me as well. And, you know, I take my allergy medicine when I wake up. And so it's a whole process, man. You know, you can't just roll in and do this job, you know. There's a lot of things that go into it. And so that's like my worst fear is like losing my voice during the game or something like that, you know. And you know how it is. We make our money with our voices, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's our money maker. And so you got to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you say you put something in the tea or you just the tea straight?
Yeah,
tea?
You know, usually it's a sort of a lemon kind of honey tea or something like that, you know. I'm not an Earl Grey kind of guy or a chamomile or nothing like that. You know, it's more of a eucalyptus or something like that. Something that massages your throat, if you will. Yeah,
nice, yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, you touched on this yesterday. I forget how we started talking about KD. I think maybe you pointed out that over the weekend he became the 12th leading scorer of all time. Passing Akeem. And I think next on the list at 11, I think, is Elvin Hayes. And he's like 300 or
he's
so shy of
that.
Yeah, because he had 27,000 last night. So where does KD rank among the all-time greats? And here's where I think I may surprise you. I don't know. Maybe you agree with me.
Okay. To me,
you look at the whole body of KD's work. I think KD, to me, is better than Kobe Bryant. And... Now, I don't know why you would laugh at that.
Dude, come on, man. You're just trolling
Kobe,
right now.
No.
You're trolling.
No.
Whitey.
No.
Whitey, stop it. Stop it.
Kobe was better defensively. He was like 11 times All-League. KD never
better defensively.
But Kobe, for some reason, gets a pass for how inefficient he was offensively. And you look at the scoring numbers, not just scoring, but the shooting. And it's not even close. Now, we're talking about two all-time greats here, okay? So I'm not saying KD's great, Kobe sucks. No, we're talking about all-time greats. Kobe won more championships. KD and Kobe played with better teams. KD won 2 championships. They both, I think, were MVP once. To me, if I were picking players to start a team with, to me, KD is a better player than Kobe Bryant. Doesn't have the reputation, but a better player.
You know what, Whitey?
Why is that laughable?
But before I come back at you, I appreciate your take. This is one of those takes because I'm already looking at the YouTube chat. I already know people are driving off the road listening to us right now. Like, that could be – there are some people who list Kobe as a top 3 player of all time.
They're wrong. Top 3 of all time? That's
yes.
the thing. Kobe has
some
this reputation.
Some people got Kobe ahead of LeBron.
Yeah, and there's just no way that's true. I don't care what some people say if some people are wrong.
So
that's neither here nor there as far as this argument goes.
All right, let's debate this you know, with our minds and not necessarily with our hearts. Let's have a realistic, objective debate about this topic. Do you consider Kobe a top 10 player of all time?
You know, I don't have a list here, so he certainly,
So then that means you consider Kevin Durant a top 10 player of all time.
Yes.
Now, Kevin Durant's success in terms of winning championships came when he was with arguably the greatest team ever assembled in the Golden State Warriors, who had won 73 games before KD came.
Who's a better shooter, Kobe or Kevin Durant? Who's better at shooting the basketball?
That's a great guy. I don't know if I can give that to you because
it's not even close.
It's a different game now, Whitey. If
you're not going to give that to me, then you're not even looking at facts.
No, because you're not looking at facts because I could argue. You said Kevin Durant won 2 championships, right?
Well, I didn't argue that. He did.
And you said Kobe played on better teams than Kevin Durant. That is categorically false. Maybe because he had Shaq the first 3, but what about the last 2? He carried Pau Gasol and Bynum and Ron Artest to a championship. Kevin Durant won a championship with Steph Curry, another top 10 player.
Pau Gasol's a Hall of Famer.
But he's not a top 10. Steph Curry's a top 10 player.
So okay, Kobe played with Shaq, and they won 3. And Kevin Durant played with Steph, and they won 2. So
exactly. But Kobe
also played.
How
does that make Kobe better?
No, because Kobe played with Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum and still won 2. Kobe's career outside of Shaq equals Kevin Durant's career. Let's keep it real. And I'm not even a Kobe guy. Kobe's great. I don't think he's a top 5 player of all time. But the fact that you're going to put Kevin Durant, who his only real accomplishments in terms of winning came with arguably a 73-win Golden State Warriors team, the greatest team of all time. And you're just thinking of Kobe with Shaq. What about Kobe in 2009 and 2010 carrying that team?
Well,
you got me fired up. You got my blood pressure up. I'm supposed to be chilling, resting my voice.
It's interesting
here.
Where you're going is that Kobe's team's won, so he's a better player than Durant. That's really the only argument other than the defense, which I gave you flat out, no question. And again, I gave you Kobe's a great player. But you look at offensive efficiency, which is important. And you can say, it's a better game. What, it's not?
It's not. It's a different game.
KD is head and shoulders above Kobe. Efficiency.
I appreciate
it's not
this.
Even close.
I appreciate this because when you lay down at night, when you go to sleep tonight, there's no way in heck you believe that. I hope you can sleep well coming up with this argument because you got the trolls out there. You got a rise out
anything.
Of people, man.
All you're saying
nice
is all
job. I'm proud of you.
You're saying I'm silly, but you're not actually arguing with me. You're
no,
saying,
because
oh, that's ridiculous.
I don't think you really believe that.
I absolutely do.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant is—he was very inefficient, and he has this, you know. Of course, everything that I think he had the reputation before the tragedy, which I don't even want to get into. But he was iconic, and I think the fact that he's iconic blinds us to some of the things, some of the flaws in his game, which again, an all-time great. But when you talk about shooting, really, if it's not close, anybody who says, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." They're either lying or they're not paying attention to what actually happened.
But here's the problem. And Whitey, I respect your basketball mind. You've loved the NBA since day one. I understand
that.
Day
one in 1946.
But you're spending too much time looking at Basketball Reference instead of watching actual games right now. Kobe Bryant was an assassin. Kobe Bryant...
That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
He was an assassin.
So what
that's
does
the type
mean
of thing
something?
People go, yes,
how about
he
this?
Was.
How
it
about
doesn't
this?
Mean anything.
Does 5 championships mean something?
Yeah.
Does 2 finals MVPs mean something? Does number 4 all-time in NBA scoring mean something? Does multiple times all-defensive first team mean something? What means something? The only thing that means something to you right now, Whitey, is, Kevin Durant is more efficient. Come on.
Well, he was a 2-time
Ray Allen
MVP.
Was more efficient than Kobe Bryant. Is he a better player?
No. Kevin Durant also was 2-time finals MVP, right? He's 12th all-time in scoring, and he's not done yet. So,
you got me fired. You knew I would get fired.
But see, that's the thing. This argument
this.
Comes down to, he was an assassin. It's all these vague terms. He was a winner.
No,
that's
no,
true,
I'm,
but you
look
have
at the
to
resume.
Look at what happened
look
on
at the
floor.
Resume.
Who missed the
resume.
Most shots
if
in the history
the
of the NBA?
If you take the names off, if you take the names off, and you just look at the resumes, whose resume is better?
Well, see, again, you're talking about team accomplishments. If you look at the numbers, which is part of a resume, it's Durant, and it's not that close.
Durant really hasn't accomplished anything outside of playing with the Golden. Durant's career outside of Golden State is George Gervin.
They went to the finals against LeBron.
And they lost to LeBron. and they lost to LeBron.
They almost
outside
beat
of that,
73
he also was win. Part of the biggest choke job in the NBA when you're up 3-2 against Golden State or 3-1 against Golden State, and the Warriors come back and beat you, and then the next year you go join them. Kevin Durant's a great player.
Yes,
don't get me to saying Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's an amazing player. But Kobe Bryant, nobody mentions Kevin Durant top 10 all time.
I don't
nobody
care.
Says that.
I don't care what other people say or
you
why
what?
Other people.
You
yeah.
know what? I'm going to let you die on that. Stand on that all you want. It's okay to be wrong in this world, Whitey, and you're wrong on this one.
Don't think so. I know most people will say I am, but I don't think so. And I encourage you just, you can laugh at me all you want, but I encourage you, you don't have to tell anybody, but you just check it yourself and you look at it. And then you don't have
no,
to get back
I don't
to
have
me.
To. The eye test.
For your
see,
own
that's
sake,
the problem.
You and,
get
I'm
your head
you
out of
everybody.
A book, Whitey. Get your head out of your YouTube screen and basketball reference. Mm-hmm. Watch the freaking games. Watch the games. Kobe, come on, man. Kobe Bryant carried the 2000. He went to three straight NBA finals, 2008, 2009, 2010, with the second best player being Pau Gasol, who's a great player, Hall of Famer, uh-huh. but he's no Steph Curry.
We're taking time out here. We'll get back to this conversation. How do you beat the Dubs without your best player as the Kings get ready to take on the Warriors tonight? Kyle Draper, San Francisco. I'm in Sacramento here. I'm taking your calls as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.